Your reaction to that, Ruth Dudley Edwards?
It's very interesting. I understand his argument very well. I'm always very nervous about anything going beyond the courts. But having said that, I also entirely accept that this country is in danger, as most countries in Europe and in the West are in danger. And we have to be able to open our minds to consider alternatives. Now, I didn't like at all what he seemed to be saying in the beginning. But when you actually talk about having scrutiny from judges who actually see the intelligence material, that changes it. And I do get the point. The security services cannot deal with 3,000 people. They cannot possibly deal. We would be a police state indeed if we could deal with that. It takes apparently something like 30 officers to trail one person day and night. That's the way it works out. So internment was a catastrophe in Northern Ireland. It couldn't have been worse handled. It was very successful during the war, during the war in Southern Ireland. Worked like a charm. Mopped up the IRA. And Southern Ireland was absolutely ruthless.
There will be human rights activists disgusted at what Colonel Camp has said this morning.
Of course there will be. But let us have an open democratic debate about it. Let the politicians start debating it. Let's see what the implications are. Let's see how dangerous it could be. Let's see how effective it could be. Let's talk about it. But don't say it's off limits because human rights activists are going to get excited. I mean, human rights activists, most of them now.
But you're talking here about...
Debase the term human rights.
Yes, but let's say this out loud. You're talking about imprisoning people without trial.
I'm talking
about... That's what internment
is. A democratic debate about internment, if it turns out to be...
Yes, and as part of that debate, would you, Ruth, support imprisoning people without trial?
No, I would listen to the arguments very carefully. But I am glad, I have to admit, I'm glad that the Southern Irish government interned the IRA during the war.
A lot of reaction now to what Colonel Kemp has just said in Nolan this morning. Jackie in Belfast. Morning, Jackie.
Hello.
And so this moves on now to what Colonel Kemp has said. He wants internment brought back. This is a former chair of COBRA. Wants internment brought back in the UK. Jackie?
Yep. Does he not realise that internment is ongoing and it's ongoing in Northern Ireland? Tony Taylor's inside for nothing. His wife's campaigning like mad for the man. Do these people want to start more trouble? It will go back to the 70s when internment was rife in Belfast and all over the six counties. Is there something wrong with his head?
Jackie, thank you. Damien, we'll come to you in just a second. David McNary joining us now, former UKIP MLA. Colonel Kemp, David, don't know if you heard him or not, has called for internment to be brought back onto the streets of Britain.
I think what he said very clearly, and people must take attention, he's naming 3,000 suspects involved in terror from a jihadist background. He's talking about deporting them, and then he rolled back on that. But
well, he hasn't rolled back on that, actually.
Well, my point is, a number of points, Stephen, is when we can't control our own borders, and when we let in, and more important, we let back, as probably was the case of the Manchester bomber, those arriving from training with ISIS, then we can't really be running around deporting people because there's the likelihood, pardon me, that they will get back. But the point is that we now hear from the Prime Minister that the threat from jihadist terrorists has been raised from severe to critical. I hope that that includes here, Northern Ireland. I hope that our Chief Constable is moving from severe to critical, and that if there's suspects here or across the border, that they're under close scrutiny. And if it comes to it, I will support and would support the government considering selective internment, not just across the board internment, not just rounding people up, that doesn't work, but selective internment based on intelligence. And if we can do that, then I think we can be doing people a great service.
And we go into now a third discussion area for us on the programme this morning. If soldiers are coming onto the streets of Great Britain to protect the citizenship, the public there, should armed soldiers be brought onto the streets of Northern Ireland?
The raising from severe to critical is across the United Kingdom. And if moves are going to be made in any part of the United Kingdom, Northern Ireland should be the same. And that'll be a great test for those people who don't want to see a Brit anywhere on the street, who hate the British. But in this case, the British are going to be defending us all from jihadists. And that's something that if we need the soldiers on the street to release the intelligence officers and to release specialised policemen to go after these people, no matter where they are in the United Kingdom, then we must welcome soldiers on the streets of Belfast or anywhere else in Northern Ireland, as much as we will welcome them in the United Kingdom. The people of Manchester, I think, will be pretty relieved to see the soldiers. Unfortunately, like everything else, they'll be saying, I wish they had been there 2 days ago.
I actually think there is a relevant question this morning to the Chief Constable, George Hamilton. If the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has said that the threat is now critical, the United Kingdom threat is now critical, and in order to protect the public, soldiers will be on the streets, armed soldiers will be on the streets to further enhance the safety of the public.
Well, I think, Stephen, there's a caveat. Hold on one second. That is if the Chief Constable
believes he can't
deal with it with his own resources.
That's right.
That he needs to bring the army in.
And that's what I was about to say. So I think there is a fair question for this programme to put to George Hamilton, the Chief Constable of Northern Ireland today.
But that question has always been with the Chief Constable, even when it was severe. And how is he controlling, how is he working with his opposite numbers down south, where people are coming across the border, where he knows they're coming across the border, and they're jihadist suspects? Where are they? Where are they? Have they been rounded up?
Well, look, here's the question that I want this programme to put to the Chief Constable of Northern Ireland this morning. The British Prime Minister has publicly said that the threat level in the United Kingdom is now at the highest level it can be, critical. In other words, another attack is expected to happen. Is it unlikely or likely that Northern Ireland would be targeted? Is it less likely that Northern Ireland would be targeted than Scotland, than England or Wales? And the obvious question that follows from that is that if there are soldiers on the streets in those other nations, does the Chief Constable of Northern Ireland feel that we require soldiers on the streets here? And obviously, given the political background and the hinterland of Northern Ireland, that takes on a whole different meaning to some people. We will put that question in to the PSNI this morning. Is Northern Ireland seen to be less of a target for this type of threat than elsewhere in the UK? Malachy O'Doherty, I wonder what type of reaction there would be if armed soldiers were put onto the streets of Northern Ireland in this context.
Well, in the current context, they are talking about using soldiers as backup for the police doing the frontline work, and soldiers guarding installations and stuff. That's how I understood it.
Yes.
If you're creating a situation either in England or Northern Ireland where armed soldiers are patrolling the streets, doing stop and search, for instance, intercepting suspects, searching houses, if you do something like that, then you really escalate the situation and you introduce an element which nobody likes to have said, but soldiers are not competent police officers. Soldiers behave badly. Many soldiers behave badly.
I think Theresa May made it clear yesterday, Malachy, that the soldiers would be under the command of the police, Chief Constable, of the police.
Yeah, yeah. So long as it's about guarding installations, being on hand to deal with emergency situations, but not actually going out and stopping people or searching houses or stuff like that. If you get to that level of military activity, then things go wrong very quickly because soldiers tend to be, the guys who do that kind of work tend to be unprofessional and tend to disgrace themselves.
And what's your reaction, Malachy, to what Colonel Kemp has called for in this programme this morning, internment to be brought back in the UK?
Well, Ruth says discuss it, and yes, discuss it. And I think the primary consideration is what is practical here? What's going to ameliorate the situation? The situation appears to have changed quite radically in the last few days. Until the last few days, what we were dealing with was opportunistic attacks by not exactly, not necessarily lone wolves.
I'll tell you what we'll do if you can. Yeah. If you and Ruth can stay there, and we will discuss it after the 10 o'clock news. We're just in the middle of a discussion here with the commentators Ruth Dudley-Edwards and Malachy O'Doherty after a former chair of COBRA, that's the Intelligence Committee, Colonel Richard Kemp, has said he feels internment should now be brought back into the UK. Malachy and Ruth, you're still with us. Thank you for hanging on.
No problem.
Malachy, do you think it's necessary?
No, I think it's I think this is we have a broad problem of the simmering discontent and the simmering expression of crazy attacks like the attack on Westminster Bridge and so on. But what we have got in Manchester appears to be of a different order. It appears to be something which has been directed from Libya, with that appears to be the case anyway. We now know from the news bulletin we've just heard that the French had some insight into this man, and we heard yesterday that the Americans had some insight into him. So essentially, there was an intelligence operation of some kind that was monitoring him or people around him. But we have apparently got a cell that has come in under the radar, which is resourced with highly explosives of a sophisticated kind, and which has still not been intercepted. I mean, when we had major attacks in the past in Paris, we had the cell being basically traced within hours and further action. This cell is still dormant. And how is internment going to deal with that? Internment is a blunt instrument for bringing in loads of suspects, imprisoning them in a camp, putting them into a concentrated situation where they're going to focus all their energies on either getting out or on developing their skills as dangerous militants. And that's, and what you do in the process of making those arrests is you make mistakes, you alienate people, you brutalise people, you invade people's homes. And, without necessarily drawing the parallel with Northern Ireland, you then end up with a situation like a British Guantanamo, which becomes impossible to close as well.
Ruth?
I do see the difficulties of it. I mean, I have to say that in the 90s, the early 90s, I was publicly in favour of interning senior members of the IRA. Intelligence knew who the Army Council was. I would also have interned quite a few of the Loyalist leaders. Only, however, may I make this absolutely clear, if it was north and south of the border. It would have had to be done hand in hand with the Dublin
government. What happened?
The Dublin government was not opposed to the idea, actually. It was more, in the end, New Labour who got upset about that. So, I don't know. I think all I'm saying, because Malachy, I agreed with everything you said earlier. Mm. I really did. All I'm saying is, in new situations, we have to open our minds and talk about the alternatives. And I think what we're forgetting here is that the security services have been very good at stopping attacks, and they have stopped an enormous number of them. They've stopped an awful lot of Manchester arenas from happening.
What we saw in Northern Ireland over the years, Ruth, was this experimentation of how you deal with problems like this. And the first attempt, if you like, was heavy-handed policing. The second experiment was internment, which didn't work. Then you end up with an experiment of special category status. Then you end up with the supergrass trials and an attempt to get a different kind of, the diplock courts and a different kind of functioning of the courts. They did end up with an instrument which was quite effective, and that was the charge of directing acts of terrorism, and that's how they got Johnny Adair. And had there not been a peace process, that's how they would have taken Martin McGuinness and probably Gerry Adams and others as well. So they were, we have had this kind
of... Well, Gerry Adams denies being a member of the IRA, emphatically denies it.
Yeah, he does, of course, yes. Yeah. And we take that really seriously because lawyers tell us to. But the reality is the Army Council of the IRA was known, Ruth is right about that, and it would have been quite possible to lift those people. And actually, the IRA was not a very big organisation either, you know. So, I mean, it might have been possible in the end to have scooped quite a lot and closed the thing down.
What do you make, Malachy, while you're with us this morning, of our main discussion today, which is around this Belfast Telegraph article written by Eilish O'Hanlon, in which she has criticised Michelle O'Neill for condemning the most recent Manchester bombing on Monday night, while, of course, she hasn't condemned, presumably wouldn't condemn, the 1996 IRA bombing of Manchester.
I remember once having lunch with John Reid and Conor Murphy and a couple of others some years ago, and I said to Conor Murphy, you know, the day is going to come when the contradiction at the heart of what Republicans are doing is just going to be so plain and obvious that you're going to have to deal with it. You know, and we're approaching that stage. I mean, it doesn't take a wit or an intellect to pull apart what the position that Michelle is in. Michelle is in a totally untenable position. She's essentially been commemorating bombers while now condemning bombers, you know. So the notion is, are bombs good, their bombs bad, you know. And that is a wholly untenable situation.
Doesn't make British bombs any better.
No, absolutely not. You know, no, I'm not, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, what I'm saying is that Michelle O'Neill and others around her are very selective in their condemnation of people who will kill civilians with bombs. The IRA was killing civilians with bombs, maybe not as pointedly and directly and deliberately, but still, no, they were doing it for decades. And there are a lot of people who seem to think that you can separate those apart and say that in some situations the bombing of civilians is excusable and in others it's not. And that is an untenable situation. And in future political scenarios that you will get into and future political discussions that you will get into, you will be perpetually reminded of that and of the untenable. I mean, essentially, she's a hypocrite. The whole thing is totally hypocritical, you know. And where is that hypocrisy going to be more plain than in Manchester?
Let's just remind ourselves what she said.
We're here to express my condolences and that on behalf of my party with all those families that have been injured and those people that have been bereaved in this recent horror attack in Manchester. One can't imagine just the thoughts going through as a mummy, going through all those families' heads last night whenever this all unfolded. So we wish those injured people well and hope that they get all the treatment and support which they need. But obviously our thoughts very much today are firmly with those families that have been bereaved and injured. It is just a heartbreaking situation which has developed in Manchester, and it's a sad day and a day where I think that we need to be respectful and stand firm with those families.
One can't imagine the thoughts they're going through as a mummy, she says, Malachy. For those people criticising her, surely they should want her to do something like this, stand up against violence and condemn it.
Yeah, and do it on the strongest possible moral ground of accepting that your own organisation, that the people you have celebrated and commemorated, were at the same.
Well, the IRA was not Michelle O'Neill's organisation.
No, but she celebrated the bombers of Loch Awe. You know, she commemorated their memory.
She did.
She did. And I mean, and to be fair to Michelle O'Neill, this is across the house. Billy Hutchinson is on Facebook, you know, expressing the same kind of remorse. And I don't doubt in a way that this is authentic feeling. I mean, we all, you know, lived, well, certainly of Billy and my generation, lived through those decades of those awful atrocities in Belfast. And many of us, when we heard the news yesterday morning or the other night, you know, felt that dark shadow come over us again because we know what those feelings are like. And they're hard to articulate. And I don't doubt that Billy Hutchinson and Michelle O'Neill, you know, do understand the horror of bombing and do understand the pain of loss and the effect that a thing like this has on a city. But, you know, they stand on very shaky moral ground if they expect us to follow them in their empathy with victims when they can't show some kind of consideration for the moral complexity that they come out of and accept the guilt of what they've done.
So what do you do? Look, Michelle O'Neill had a decision as to whether to sign this book of condolence or not. empathise with those people who had been the victims and the families of the victims of Monday night or not. Well, so are you saying it would have been better for her not to go?
No, no, that's the petard she's hung on. Well, no, what she has to do and what she will inevitably have to do and what, for all we know, she already does in her quiet moments alone is face the horror of what her the IRA was responsible for. Face the fact that, you know, that all the pain that is raw and naked and explicit around Manchester was visited upon Belfast, upon Derry, upon all the towns of Northern Ireland by people that she regards as heroes and comrades.
Well, what about the violence, Sinn Féin would say, and the hurt created by the British Army and British state forces?
And, yeah, and that's why I'm saying to you, and I said this before, this: be bloody careful before you put British soldiers in the streets. Because if you have British soldiers, we know what we know the damage that was wrought by the British Army in the past in situations like this. And the last thing you would want would be to find riots between British soldiers and Muslim youths in parts of England.
Is there any reason, Ruth and Maliki, before I let you both go today, obviously we're asking the Chief Constable of the PSNI this morning, George Hamilton, for the situation in Northern Ireland, his assessment as to whether soldiers are needed or not needed in Northern Ireland. Is there any reason in your head, Ruth, why Northern Ireland would not be as much, why Belfast, for example, would not be as much a possible target in terms of a city as London or Manchester or Edinburgh, Dundee, anywhere else in the UK?
It doesn't have large groups of Muslim immigrants from whom tend to come the bombers. That's why. They wouldn't know Northern Ireland from Wales. And although there was an attack in Scotland on Glasgow Airport, that was people coming up from London who were rather sophisticated. They were engineers, if I remember correctly. And I think one was a doctor. It's a very unlikely target. But the intelligence services do seem to be on top of this in the sense of knowing where the trouble is. And there's no getting away from the fact that it's mostly northern towns. They're producing these people, the homegrown terrorists,
because they're among
their own and their own people.
And do you feel we would be an unlikely target, Maliki?
Well, I think just in practical terms, that if I was a jihadi and I wanted to bomb targets, I have an island next door with a population of 60 million and a wealth of targets available, whereas I would have to get another plane it's just the security difficulty of getting a bomb across the Irish Sea into Belfast. You would think that would be a further hindrance. It gives us some security.
Okay, Patricia in Belfast. Morning, Patricia. Then we're going to move on. Morning, Patricia.
Hello, Stephen. I just wanted to kind of, following on, actually, in Maliki outlining kind of perceived injustices and things that went wrong in the justice system, the link between justice and peace, it's very hard to pin down. But if you want to be, I think the lesson of Northern Ireland is, if you want to live in a relatively peaceful society, a fair society, you have to get the justice system right. And whenever a colonel was saying about they were thinking of internment, but maybe do it smarter than here, I just think that's going about things the wrong way, because look at all the trouble. It's been if you look at the case of Northern Ireland, it's been a recruitment agent. People still remember experiences they had that were grossly unfair. You know, exactly the same thing. You'd have people's expectations that they were living in a society that wasn't fair, in a society that had no, you know, that didn't have a fair justice system. I mean, look at all the things we've had to do to unlock all those things that were wrong in the justice system. Look how an uphill struggle it's been to get people to trust the courts, to trust the police, all those sorts of things. We've really had a struggle to do that. So it looks like that when they're considering what's the appropriate response to the Manchester bombing, they're thinking along those lines. It seemed to me he was flying a kite, you know, to see how people would respond if they brought it in. I mean, if you think in America, they also had internment, didn't they? They interned Japanese. There doesn't seem to have been a backlash there, but there definitely was a very, okay, very negative impact here.
Patricia, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you. Ruth and Maliki, thank you. 18 minutes now past 10, 0:30, 80:55, 55. We're still waiting to hear from Sinn Féin. We haven't had any response from Sinn Féin as to the question we put to them as to how would they distinguish as a political party between the bombing of Manchester on Monday night and the bombing of Manchester by the IRA in 1996. And so far, we've had no response to that question from Sinn Féin this morning.